tuned to Yesterday, broadcasting programs from radio's past. I'm your host, Mark Livonier. In this hour, Westerns. Later on, Jimmy Stewart is the Six Shooter from 1954. First, it's Wild Bill Hickok with the story Old Red's Revenge, a syndicated episode from November 19th, 1952.
Kellogg's, the greatest name in cereals, presents
Wild Bill Hickok!
Hiya, folks, hold on to your hats and pass those Kellogg sugar pops, because here comes Guy Madison as Wild Bill Hickok and his pal Jingles, which is me, Andy Devine. We got another rootin' tootin' Wild Bill Hickok adventure story for you from the cereal you can eat out of the bowl or out of the box, the cereal with the sweetening already on it, Kellogg's Sugar Pops!
Today, Kellogg's Sugar Pops, the cereal with the sweetening already on it, brings you Wild Bill Hickok, transcribed in Hollywood and starring Guy Madison as Wild Bill and Andy Devine as his pal Jingles. In just 30 seconds, you'll hear the exciting story, Old Red's Revenge. When the West was young, there was one special animal that was worth his weight in gold, a good lead steer to head up a trail herd on the long drive from Texas to the railheads of Kansas. The furious fight for possession of one of the most famous of these involved United States Marshal Wild Bill Hickok and his faithful deputy Jingles in one of their thrill-packed adventures, the story of Old Red's Revenge.
Bill, that's a whole kit and caboodle of Colonel Harpin's stock bought by Blanco Brennan.
That's right, Jingles, and he bought them at 10 cents on the dollar.
Now, gents, here comes the big climax of this auction. Here he is at last, the most famous lead steer ever to set foot on a Chisholm Trail.
Hey, Bill, ain't that the longhorn critter they say gored Colonel Harpin to death?
That's the one, Jingles.
All right, gents, who'll bid on Old Red? Come on, don't hang back. This longhorn's worth his weight in gold.
$100.
Toby Tyler bids $100. $100 in bid. Who?
$200.
Hey, Bill, look. Blanco Brennan's bidding on Old Red, too.
Yeah, and from the way he keeps jabbing that pointed cane of his in the ground, he means to get him.
Blanco bids $200. How about it, Mr. Tyler?
$400.
Hey, Bill, did you hear that?
They're both driving herds north tomorrow morning, partner, and they both want Old Red for the point.
Tyler, you better quit bidding. I mean to have that longhorn.
You'll have to bid for him, Blanco.
Blast you, Tyler. I bid $450.
$450 for Blanco Brennan.
$500.
Brennan bids $500. Woo-wee. Blanco's mattering a wildcat in a bear trap. Look at him jab that cane in the dirt, Bill.
Tyler, you're just bidding me up to hang me on a high price.
You'll have to bid to find that out, Blanco. You're stuck.
Hey, Jingles, this looks bad. Blanco starts trouble, you get Tyler out of the way.
$500 to bid. Going once to Mr. Toby Tyler.
What's the matter, Blanco? This deal too fair and square for you?
Going twice?
Tyler, I'll kill you for that.
Sold, Mr. Tyler. That's all for today,
gents. That steer won't do you no good, Tyler.
Bill Blanco's going for Tyler with that pointed cane.
Get Tyler.
No, get away from me, Blanco.
I'll kill you, you hear? No, you don't, Blanco. Now back off.
Out of my way, Hickok. This between Tyler and me.
You're getting out of hand, mister.
Get out of my way, I said.
Bill, he's coming for you. Watch that cane.
Meddling star packer.
I'll take that cane, Blanco.
Can't buffalo me.
Maybe this will prove I'm not buffalo.
Attaboy, Bill. That ought to cool him off for a while.
All right, Blanco, get back up on your feet. Here's your cane. After this, you better use it for walking.
You're going to regret this, Hickok. And I'm through with you either, Tyler.
Bill, that gent's gone loco.
This longhorn's not going to lead your herd to Dodge City ahead of mine.
Get away from Old Red with that cane.
Bill, he's jabbing that longhorn in the ribs. Look out!
Yeah, get him, Old Red. Get him like you got old Colonel Harper. Get him.
Still going to charge Tyler.
Run for it.
If he's fooled, he'll get loose.
I'll make a try for it.
Don't be a fool, Bill. That steer's a killer.
Watch those horns, Bill. He'll rip you to pieces. Bill!
When When Blanco Brenham lost the bid on Old Red to Toby Tyler, he went berserk until stopped by Wild Bill Hickok. Then, still blind mad, he goaded Old Red into stampeding. Bill jumped in to stop the longhorn steer and was joined in the battle by his big partner, Jingles.
I'm coming, Bill!
I've got him buffaloed for a minute, Jingles. Throw that loop.
Here it comes, Bill!
Good throw, Jingles. Now move in and keep that rope tight.
Ain't gonna do you no good to argue now, you longhorn critter. We got you between us. Oh, boy, is he mad.
Yeah, mad. Now we'll get the horse. Come here, Buckshot. Come here, boy.
Come on, Joker. We gotta have your help, too. Come on, boy.
Bill.
We're going to take Old Red home for you, Mr. Tyler, if our luck holds.
Well, I sure do thank you for that.
I'm in the saddle, Bill. You ready to try it?
Wait, Blanco got that longhorn devil spooked up. I reckon I'd never stood a chance of getting back to my corral.
All right, Jingles, spread out and keep those ropes taut. With Old Red between us, we might make it.
Mr. Tyler, watch where you're riding. This ain't no kitten we got on the string.
You did right about that. He's already killed one man. But he's the best dad-burn leech deer in country.
By the way, Mr. Tyler, what proof was there that Old Red killed Colonel Harpin?
Didn't need no more proof than one look at him, Bill. Them horns sure can make a mess out of a man.
Who found Colonel Harpin's body?
Blanco Brenham. He's got the ranch next to the Colonel's. Rode into the pasture just after it happened, he said.
Huh. Blanco Brenham? Well, after what happened this afternoon, I wouldn't take his word for the time of day. All right, straighten out there, you ornery critter. We got to get you locked in that corral before sundown. Now get along. Hey, hey, hey!
Sure was mighty nice of you to ask us to stay the night, Mr. Tyler.
Yeah, it sure was. Whew, after that big supper, I doubt if we'd have made it back to town anyway.
Well, now you're both mighty welcome. Don't forget, you did me a real mountainous favor. Bring an Old Red home like you did.
No, it was nothing. Oh, of course, Bill liked to got himself trampled to death, but he's always doing something like that. Don't know no better, I reckon.
I said a lot of store by that dad-burn longhorn. It did me good to beat Blanco out of him. We both got herds ready to push up the trail at sunup for Dodge City. Old Red's the difference.
What difference?
A good lead steer can keep a herd on the move and hold them from stampeding better than 10 cowpokes.
That's right, partner.
With Old Red leading my herd, I'll beat Blanco's drive to the railhead and get top price for my steers.
That your dog, Mr. Tyler?
Yeah. Wonder what's got him going.
Oh, barking at the moon, most likely. You know how they always
hold it,
do
partner.
That, huh?
Mr. Tyler, your dog's got something on his mind. It's down by the corral. Come on.
I got my rifle. Bill, you're right. It is down by my corral. Let's go.
Hey, look, riders.
Ruthless, by Joe. Let them have it.
That won't do any good from here. You can't see them.
Hey, them coyotes are shooting back.
Then dust them off, partner. That'll keep them away from the herd.
Bill, they're getting away.
Wait a minute.
What's the matter?
Bill, they weren't after the herd.
What?
Look in the corral. Old Red's gone. Those night riding varmints stole him.
I hear him. Grab a hackamore and climb on Joker, Jingles. Come here, Buckshot.
But our saddles are in the barn, Bill.
Then we'll ride them bareback. Steady, Buckshot.
You'll never catch him, Bill.
Maybe not, but we're going to make a try for Old Red. Hi, Buckshot. Hi.
Hey, Bill, wait for me.
They're splitting up, Jingles. That means they're going to leave that longhorn.
Doggone that critter. He's been more trouble than he's worth.
There he is, partner. Now get around him. After him, Buckshot. Turn him back to the corral.
That's it, Bill. We got him almost home again. Look at that critter run.
Yeah, he sure covers the ground, all right. Open that gate up wide, Toby. We're coming in.
It's open, Bill.
Now get in there, Red.
Well, you got him, Bill. He's inside again.
Now close that gate, Tyler. Quick.
Ooh-wee. That sure settled my supper. Now, who do you reckon those night-riding rustlers were?
Blanco Brenham and his low-down leather pushers. That's who it was. I'm sure of it.
Wouldn't be surprised if you were right, Toby. That means he may try for Old Red again tonight.
Well, what are we going to do?
Well, might sleep out here, partner.
Oh, now, doggone it, I ain't about to sleep out here with this ornery longhorn.
Then you go on up to the house and bed down. I'll sleep out here.
Oh, no, that ain't fit to be considered. We'll both sleep out here. But I still don't figure my ma raised me to be nursemaid to half a ton of hair, hide, and tallow.
All right, hold it right there.
Don't shoot. I'm the sheriff.
Well, sheriff, what brings you out in the night?
I come for you, Mr. Hickok. Who's snoring?
Well, that's my partner, Jingles. Hey, Jingles. Jingles, wake up. We got company.
Take it
easy, Jingles. Take it easy. It's only the sheriff.
Oh, the sheriff. Oh, howdy, sheriff. Oh, must have dropped off for a nap.
Yeah, from the way you were snoring, it must have been a long drop. Mr. Hickok, I found out something at the Harpin Ranch house I thought you ought to see.
Colonel Harpin's ranch?
That's right. I'd sure like for you to go back there with me right now.
But we got to guard Old Red.
Well, Toby Tyler's up, coming down here to do that. Old Red ain't half as important as what I'm talking about.
Hey, huh?
Just what are you talking about, Sheriff?
Yeah.
I'm talking about a killing, Hickok. What I saw is what I think I saw. I got proof that Old Red didn't kill Colonel Harpin. The colonel was murdered.
Murdered?
If that's the case, Sheriff, we're riding with you. Come on, partner, let's go get the horses.
Here's the main Harpin Ranch house. Now we'll go around to the smokehouse. Get around there, Roan.
Sheriff, if you woke me up on a wild goose chase, I'm liable to want to lock you up.
Well, this ain't no wild goose chase, Jingles. Whoa, Roan.
Whoa, Joker.
Right in here, gents. Well, sun's coming up. You can see now.
Yeah, you sure got through a lot of trouble to make a mystery, Sheriff. Now you got the hair standing up on the back of my neck like a razorback hog chasing the hound.
Now, Marshal, just take a look around you.
Oh, sure.
Just stand still, Jingles. Don't walk on that dirt floor. You'll cover up the evidence.
Huh? Evidence?
Hold it, partner. The sheriff's right. There's been a knockdown, drag-out fight in the smokehouse.
Oh-wee, it was a bench-busting set, too, all right. This place is a mess.
Hey, look here on the wall, Mr. Hickok. That looked like blood to you?
I'm afraid you're right, Sheriff.
Now look on the dirt floor there. What do you make of them little holes?
Little holes? Oh, yeah.
That's what I can't figure out, Mr. Hickok.
Well, they look like good men made with a tent stake, Bill.
Yeah, partner, or a sharp-pointed stick, or a bull goat, or... Hey, Jingles.
Huh?
Didn't Toby Tyler tell us that the colonel's body was found in the pasture by Blanco Brenham's?
That's right, but what's that got to do with it?
Look at those holes again, and think back to the fight Blanco started at the auction.
You mean when he went for Mr. Tyler with that cane?
That's right. Blanco was wearing a pair of bone-handled 45s, but he made his play for Tyler with his cane.
Oh, but I don't see
and
what...
And that cane had a sharp point on it.
Mm-hmm.
Remember when he was getting mad, he kept jabbing it in the ground and made little holes just like these.
Bill, are you saying that Blanco killed Colonel Harpin?
But they was next-door neighbors, Hickok.
Sure. And Blanco bought all the colonel's stock real cheap. I'm not saying anything yet, but we're about to find Blanco and ask him some mighty pointed questions. Come on.
Get on there, you lazy critters. Ha! 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 Blast your moolah!
Hello, Blanco.
Yeah.
You're asking for trouble. You can't hurry them critters.
Ah, shut up. You're not telling me what to do, Boone. These are my cows, and I got to get them to Dodge City before Toby Tyler drives his in.
Yeah, I know. But if you keep prodding those lead steers with that sharp cane of yours, you're going to spook them into a stampede, and you'll never get them to Dodge City.
I know what I'm doing.
Yeah, I reckon. If I was you, I'd throw that cane away. You've been working at overtime already.
Yeah, what do you mean by that?
You ain't forgot about tangling with Wild Bill Hickok yesterday, have you?
Hickok don't scare me.
No, well, he might. He just happened to stumble onto anything that'd lead him to old Colonel Harper's smokehouse.
You threatening to tell him, Boone?
I don't reckon so.
Well, it wouldn't be healthy. You could get lost in a stampede mighty easy.
I'm real careful about my health, Blanco. And Hickok ain't likely to be looking for me.
Well, if he comes looking for me, it's going to be his last hunting trip. If it hadn't been for him, I'd have had Old Red leading this drive. Running the point of this cane through Wild Bill Hickok would be a pleasure.
Thank you. Here's something maybe you didn't know, Wranglers. You actually get two kinds of food energy from Kellogg's Sugar Corn Pops. Yep, you get food energy from the corn and food energy from the sweetening both at the same time. Guess that kind of makes Kellogg's Sugar Pops a double energy provider, wouldn't you say? Kellogg's Sugar Pops are extra special good tasting, too. Pour yourself a big heaping bowl full of Kellogg's Sugar Pops for breakfast, then add a little milk or cream and dig into the best tasting cereal ever. You don't need to add sugar because the sweetening's already on Kellogg's Sugar Corn Pops. Out of the bowl or out of the box like a snack, Kellogg's Sugar Pops are tops. So come on, sing our Kellogg's Sugar Corn Pops song.
Yippee! Sugar Pops.
They're sugar-coated, taste the sweet. Just pour on some milk.
Oh, boy, they're neat.
Kellogg's Sugar Corn Pops. Sugar Pops are tops. Now, Sugar Pops, you know, are sweet.
But cowboys know there's an extra treat.
Right out of the box, take a handful out. Pop them into your mouth as you run about. Kellogg's Sugar Corn Pops. Sugar Pops are pops.
Remember this, Wranglers. Your mom will be glad to round up several boxes of Kellogg's Sugar Pops.
Strong evidence pointing to Blanco Brenham as Colonel Harpin's killer instead of Old Red, Wild Bill Hickok with Jingles and the sheriff raced to catch up with Brenham's trail herd.
We're gaining on Blanco's herd, Bill.
Yeah, but where's Blanco?
There he is, up at the head end, riding point.
Well, he don't know we're after him. It ought to be easy to catch up with him.
Wouldn't be too sure of that. Hey, look, he's seen us.
Yeah, he's stopping his horse to look us over. Hey!
Look out, that sidewinder shooting at us.
Well, what do you reckon made him suspicious?
Might have a guilty conscience, Jingles.
Now I'm getting mad. I'm going to dust him off.
No, Jingles, hold on. I want that Jasper alive.
Why?
If he's guilty of killing Harpin, I'm going to give him a chance to tell me about it.
After him, Buckshot. Come on.
Bill, he's taking off. He's going right across in front of his herd.
He'll get trampled to death. He'll never get him.
Ooh, Buckshot.
Oh, hold, Joker.
Oh, boy. Jughead's asking for it, Bill.
He's got plenty of nerve. That herd's about to stampede.
Nah, that ain't nerve. He's just more scared of you than of that dad-blamed herd.
Bill, he got across. Now he's got the herd between us and him.
Then I'll have to go around after him, partner.
Well, how about going around the tail end of the herd?
Yeah. Uh-oh, look back there, Bill. Here comes Tyler's herd turning in from the east trail with Old Red in the lead. He'll never get around that way either.
Then that only leaves one thing to do. I'll go across in front, too. You stay here, Jingles.
Hi, Buckshot.
I ain't staying here. I'm right behind you.
I'm coming, too.
Jump, Joker. Hey, Bill, wait for me. There he is, Bill.
Stay back, Hickok. Keep away from me.
I'm coming, Blanco. Get him, Buckshot.
Watch out for that sidewinder, Bill.
Fall down on that bronc, Blanco. I want to talk to you.
I got nothing to say to you, Hickok.
Trotty, Buckshot. I think you have, Blanco. Now come down over that horse.
You call to come after me, you're going to wish you hadn't.
You sure do hang on to that cane, don't you?
Take it away from me, Bill.
That's just what I had in mind, partner.
I'll be glad to give it to you, Hickok.
Bill, look out!
That's how he killed the colonel, Bill.
Your time's up, Blanco. Now, let's have a look at that cane.
I don't know what this is all about.
I got a hunch you do, Blanco, so start talking.
Talking about what?
About killing people and blaming it on a longhorn steer named Old Red. That's what...
Are you loco?
Maybe not. You said you found Colonel Harpin's body out in the pasture.
That's right. Old Red gored him to death.
That's your story. Now, I want you to look at the little holes this cane of yours makes in the ground.
Hey, Bill, they're the same, all right.
Well, what's that got to do with it?
We found evidence of a fight in Colonel Harpin's smokehouse. And little holes in the dirt floor of the place.
Smokehouse?
And they look just like that, too.
And there was blood around.
Yeah, well, I don't know nothing about it.
This cane's mighty heavy. You sure you didn't kill the colonel in the smokehouse, then drag him out in the pasture where Old Red was?
Just to get the colonel stocked for nothing at auction?
No, Old Red did it.
Bill, hey, here comes Old Red now, leading the point of Tyler's herd. Hey, look at that longhorn.
He's heading this way. Hey, stop him.
No,
hey, stop
let him. Let him come. He's heading for you, Blanco.
Yeah, you made him mad once, Blanco. Remember, he's coming for you.
No, No, keep away.
He's after you, Blanco.
Old Red don't like being accused of murder.
No, get the critter away. I'll tell you, I killed him. I killed Harper just like you said.
That's what I figured.
Look out, Bill. I'll turn that spear. Get around there, you long-horned demon. You've done your job for a day. Now get out.
Good boy, Jingles. All right, Blanco. Now you can just turn this whole herd and drive it back to the colonel's ranch. Then you're going away for a long trip.
Yeah, to the territorial pen. And when you get out, if you ever do, you'll be walking with another cane to keep from tripping over your long gray beard.
And now, here are the stars of Wild Bill Hickok, Guy Madison and Andy Devine.
Andy and I'll be with you again on Friday, folks, with another Wild Bill Hickok story.
And incidentally, it's going to be about one of the strangest situations Wild Bill and Jingles ever did get into, called Hangtown Jail.
Meanwhile, Andy and I hope you'll remember to ask Mom to get a big package of the cereal with the sweetening already on it, Kellogg Sugar Pop.
In the bright yellow packages with the picture of Guy and me right on the front. Eat them out of a bowl for breakfast or right out of the box as a snack. Either way, you don't need sugar.
Andy and I think sugar pops are great, huh, Andy?
Hey, bet we do.
So long, kids.
See you Friday.
Kellogg's, the greatest name in cereals, has brought you another exciting story of Wild Bill Hickok, starring Guy Madison and Andy Devine in person. Today's cast included Herb Butterfield, Herb Vigran, and Jack Crucian. Our director is Paul Pierce, story by Larry Hayes, music by Dick Orange. This is a David Heyer production, transcribed in Hollywood. Now, this is Charlie Lyon speaking for Kellogg's, the greatest name in cereals, reminding you to listen again on Friday, same time, same station, when Kellogg's Rice Krispies presents Wild Bill Hickok in Hangtown Jail.
Wild Bill Hickok, on Tuned to Yesterday from November 19, 1952, a syndicated broadcast. That episode heard on radio about a year into the Wild Bill Hickok television series, which featured the leading men of the radio show, Guy Madison as Wild Bill and Andy Devine as Jingles, for all 112 broadcasts of the TV show from 1951 through 1958. This is an hour of Westerns on Tuned to Yesterday. I'm your host, Mark Levonier. Next, James Stewart is the six-shooter, and an NBC broadcast from the 8th of April, 1954.
In a moment, you'll hear James Stewart as the Six Shooter, just one of many fine programs brought to you each week on NBC. Tomorrow night, there's top comedy entertainment with The Bob Hope Show, The Phil Harris Alice Faye Show, and Can You Top This? With Senator Ford. Bob Hope delivers rapid-fire comedy routines, while Phil Harris and Alice Faye bring both mirth and music. It's a great Friday night lineup of comedy programs, all of them heard only on NBC. James Stewart as the Six Shooter. Saddle is angular and long-legged. His skin is sun-dyed brown. The gun in his holster is gray steel and rainbow mother of pearl. Its handle unmarked. People call them both the Six Shooter. The NBC Radio Network presents James Stewart as the Six Shooter, a transcribed series of radio dramas based on the life of Britt Ponsett, the Texas plainsman who wandered through the Western territories, leaving behind a trail of still-remembered legends.
We weren't exactly lost, Scar and me. Well, not completely, anyhow. I had a
sort of a general idea of her whereabouts, but I must have taken a wrong turn back at Glen Forks or we'd have reached Minton by now. The trouble was I'd never covered the southern part of the state before, and so for the last half hour, I sort of kept my eyes peeled for a ranch where I could get my bearings. Hadn't spotted any signs of civilization, though. There didn't seem to be any settlers along the trail. And when I finally did come within sight of a house, I almost missed it. Hey, sorry, he didn't. He was thirsty and he could smell water. What's the matter, boy? What's the matter? What? Oh, there it is. It was about a quarter of a mile east, nearly hidden in a clump of cottonwoods. Large, rambling, two-story building, sort of gray-colored, like it had been white once and needed a coat of paint. I begin to wonder whether anybody still lived here. Easy, boy. Easy now. The steps leading up to the porch were cracked and broken, and a hole in the side window was stuffed with newspaper to keep the wind out. Hello? Anybody home?
Who is it? What do you want?
Why, just some directions, ma'am. I'm looking for a trail to Minton.
Oh. Just a minute. Trail to Minton, you said?
Yes, ma'am.
You should have turned east at Glen Forks.
Oh,
trail past here is the old one. 4 miles longer and nobody uses it anymore.
I see. Well, as long as it goes to Minton anyway.
4 miles longer and nobody uses it nowadays.
Yes, ma'am. Still, it'd be shorter than going all the way back to Glen Forks, wouldn't it?
I guess so.
Yes. Well, thanks, ma'am. Oh, ma'am.
Yes?
You don't have some extra water, do you, from a horse?
There's a pump out and back. I'll show you.
Oh, no need for you to trouble yourself. I'll find it. Come on, Clark.
No trouble, mister.
Ponsett, ma'am. Britt Ponsett.
Ponsett? I think I've heard my husband speak of you.
Oh.
You can use that bucket.
Oh, here it is. Thanks.
We've had a dry summer. Very dry. It may take a while for it to start growing.
Sure.
Britt Ponsett. I'm certain the general mentioned your name.
The general?
I'm Hannah Guilford. General Guilford's wife.
Oh. Oh, well, I'm very pleased to meet you, Mrs. Guilford.
Then you do know William?
I knew him, yes, ma'am. I knew him when he was in command of Fort Clark. That was a couple of years before he...
Fort Clark. I wasn't with him there. William thought it would be too dangerous. Indians.
Uh-huh.
The general will be very pleased when I tell him to stop by. He's taking a nap now, and I'd hate to wake him. But if you're going to be in Minton, or perhaps some other day...
I don't quite understand, ma'am. I thought that I'm in...
You don't believe me, do you? You're like all the others. You think he's dead. You think the Cheyenne killed him.
No, Mrs. Guilford.
I tell you, he's alive. General William Guilford's still alive.
Well, Hannah Guilford wasn't the first woman to get rocked off balance by the shock of her husband's death. I was kind of surprised that she wasn't over it by now. It had been 5 years since the massacre at Red Hills. 5 years since William Guilford and his cavalry regiment had been wiped out the last man. Easy, boy. Easy. Oh, you had enough? All right, come on. Anyway, I led Scar away from the pump and I started to climb into the saddle. Just then, the front door opened again. She looked different now, somehow. Clear-eyed, calm, sensible.
Mr. Ponsett?
Yes, ma'am?
I wonder if you'd do me a favor.
Well, I'd be happy to, Miss Guilford.
I've made a list of some supplies I need from Trailer's General Store in Minton. Would you ask Mr. Trailer to bring them out first thing in the morning?
Oh, certainly, ma'am.
Here. My husband and I were planning to take the buckboard into town this afternoon, but I don't think he's up to the drive. This way, you'll save us the trip. You sure you don't mind?
No, not a bit. Bye, Miss Guilford.
Bye. Don't forget to tell Mr. Trailer first thing in the morning. That's when I want them.
She's not getting this stuff first thing in the morning or any other time.
No?
I can't go on supporting Hannah Guilford for the rest of her life, Mr. Ponsett. You can see that.
Sure.
I know the general was a hero, give his life fighting for the rest of us, but there's a limit. Feeding her ain't enough. I have to send food for him, too.
Yeah, well, I'm afraid I don't understand, Mr. Trailer.
Look at this here list of hers. Yeah, right here. 2 steaks for the general. You know how thick to cut them.
Oh, I see.
Well, I'm not saying don't feel sorry for her, living out there all alone, cooking meals for him. There's talk she even sets his place at the table.
Well, what...
But she's carrying on like this for 5 years, Mr. Ponsett, refusing to believe that he's dead. Pretending that we're the ones who are crazy because we tell her the truth about him.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we all thought, the folks here in town, that is, we thought she'd come to her senses long before this, but she don't. She seems to get worse all the time.
Oh, that's too bad, isn't it?
Yeah. And it's not good for the town, either.
Well, how's that?
Well, you know how kids are.
Oh?
They get ideas. Well, some of them have been sneaking out to the Guilford Ranch, and they claim they've seen the general's ghost.
Oh.
Yeah. Next thing, it won't be just the kids who are talking that kind of foolishness. Mr. Ponsett, I've heard her carry on a conversation with the general.
Is that so?
Yeah. Sometimes when I come up to the house with a load of food, she's chattering away like he was right there in the same room with her. Gives a man a peculiar feeling. That's all there is to it.
Yeah, sure would.
You don't think it's wrong of me not to give her the grub?
No, it sounds like you've done about all you can for her, Mr. Trailer.
Besides, it ain't just the food. It's a 6-mile ride out there. And I have to close up my store while I'm gone and lose all that trade. Oh, what's the use? I keep saying I won't do it again. Keep telling myself I'll put my foot down for good and all, but I never do. I get to thinking about the general and how much we all owe him. Then I get thinking about Hannah, too. How pretty she was when they got married. She was young and pretty. She was a lot younger than him, you know. Only about 20 at the time of the wedding. Let's see, that was 17... No, it was 18 years ago.
18? Well, you mean she... What did that make it? You mean she's only 38 now?
Yeah, somewhere's in there. Not much older, anyway. You wouldn't think it to look at her, would you, Mr. Ponsett? You wouldn't think she was once the prettiest girl in Metton, now would you?
I guess she's been through a lot.
Yeah, I guess she has. Well, I suppose I might as well start getting her order together. If I have it all ready to take out there in the morning, I won't miss much business. The fact of the matter is, I won't miss any business. Seems how I got the only general store here in Minton.
Say, if it'd be of any help to you, Mr. Trailer, I could drive out to the Guilford Ranch tonight and deliver the supplies.
No. I wouldn't want to put you out.
No, I haven't got anything else to do. The cattle I'm waiting for, I haven't showed up yet. Probably won't be here before morning.
Well, if you're sure it won't be an imposition.
No, not all.
I'd take it myself, but it's after 7 before I close up, and then by the time I had supper, it makes it so darn late.
Sure, I understand.
It'll only take me a few minutes to fill her order. Why don't you just dip into that cookie barrel there while you wait?
I left Scar at the livery stable and Trailer loaded the grub for Mrs. Guilford into the buckboard. And I started off to the ranch. Come on. Get up. Come on. Get up. The sun had gone down by the time I got there. It wasn't dark yet, though. You could still see yellow and red over behind the mountains, but the evening star was getting brighter and brighter.
Whoa now.
I thought, sure, she must have heard me when I drove into the yard, but front door hadn't opened yet, so I climbed off the seat, walked up those broken steps onto the porch, and the next thing I...
Live on charity forever, will you? Gotta do something about the ranch, sell it, or find some way of getting it in shape again. Look at his money.
I figured it was one of those conversations Trailer had told me about, that Hannah was talking to herself, pretending her husband was with her.
We had to starve.
And I felt kind of peculiar, too, the way Trailer said he felt. And I raised my hand to knock, and then all of a sudden I heard something else. Something that told me I'd figured wrong.
Well, it's been 5 years.
Don't you think I know how long it's been? 5 years, you call it. To me, it's been 50.
Well, there wasn't much doubt about who that voice belonged to. Even though I hadn't heard it since Fort Clark, Hannah Guilford wasn't pretending. And she wasn't talking to herself either. She was talking to her husband.
We'll return to James Stewart as the Six Shooter in just a moment. It is the busy folks, particularly, who should listen to this bit of advice from the American Cancer Society. Regular physical examinations are important in the fight against cancer. Medical science today can cure many cancers if treatment is started soon enough. In other words, to cure cancer, it has to be discovered in its early stages. Regular physical examinations are one of the best ways in the world of detecting the condition in time. You can help in the fight to beat cancer. This is Cancer Control Month by proclamation of Congress. To help, please send a contribution now to Cancer in care of your local postmaster. Now, Act Two of The Six Shooter, starring James Stewart as Britt Ponsett.
Well, for a minute or so, I just stood there in the Guilford porch listening. Like everybody else, I thought General Guilford was dead, that he'd been killed by the Cheyennes when his regiment was wiped out. Why, there was even a monument to him in the cemetery in Minton. I'd seen it that afternoon as I rode past there.
You know as well as I do, Hannah, we can't sell the ranch and we can't move away. If we were foolish enough to try that, why...
Well, whatever the explanation was, it didn't need to concern me, and I turned and started for the buckboard. Right then, one of those cracked porch steps decided to give way. Well, I managed to keep my balance, but I'd made enough racket to drown out half a dozen conversations.
Mr. Ponson.
Oh, evening, ma'am.
What do you want? Why did you come back?
Well, I brought the things you ordered from town. I thought I'd save Mr. Trailer a trip.
I told the general you were here this afternoon. I was just talking about you, as a matter of fact.
Yes, ma'am, I know.
You know.
I heard you, yes, and the general.
Oh.
Here, I'll help you get this stuff unloaded.
Never mind.
What?
Don't bother with it now, Mr. Ponson. Just come into the house, please.
Now, look, Mrs. Guilford, I didn't mean to be eavesdropping.
Doesn't matter. Somebody was bound to discover the truth. I thought it would happen before this. I almost hoped it would. This way, Mr. Ponson.
Yes, ma'am. I followed Hannah Guilford through the front door. The general was sitting on the horsehair sofa. He hadn't aged at all since I last saw him. Funny, the years had speeded up on his wife, but they'd stopped dead still for him. And when he saw me, he got to his feet and he slipped on an army blouse. And even though the cloth had been patched and mended a dozen times, the jacket was still neatly pressed. It still looked military.
Hello, Britt.
General?
He heard us talking, William. He heard your voice, too.
I see. Why did it have to be you, Britt?
Well, I don't quite understand.
Anybody else? People would say it was their imagination, that they'd heard a ghost. But they'd never say that Britt Ponsett was imagining things. They'd believe you if you told them I was still alive.
Oh, you never know what people are going to believe, General.
What difference does it make now, William? Somebody was sure to find out sooner or later.
Be quiet, Hannah. I want to think.
There's nothing to think about. We have to face the truth, that's all.
We?
I'll stand by you. Always have, haven't I?
Yes, my dear, yes. You've been very loyal. But I'm the one they'll court-martial. Not you. Not both of us.
Court-martial?
The army doesn't look very favorably on desertion, Britt.
Oh?
It was an accident, of course. It wasn't intentional. It shouldn't have happened, I know, but my being there wouldn't have made any difference. They'd have all been killed anyway, and me along with them.
I see. You weren't at the massacre then?
No. I hadn't been feeling well for several days. I didn't know what it was, and the army doctor with us hadn't been able to help me, so I was riding for Browning when it happened.
Yeah?
If I had expected the Indians to attack, if I had had any idea there were so many of them, I would never have left my men. The scouts told us only 700 or 800. They said the Cheyennes were breaking camp, preparing to withdraw. If I had known there were so many, I would never have left.
Yes, but I...
How do you think I felt when that corporal caught up with me? The only man who escaped the slaughter. How do you think I felt when he told me what had happened and then died in my arms?
Yes, well, maybe if he hadn't died, he'd been able to get help.
I went back to them, back to my men. I saw what had happened with my own eyes. It was horrible. Mutilation. Awful. They were my responsibility, but it wasn't my fault. It wouldn't have made any difference if I had been there.
But you should have explained it to the army.
I was going to. I wanted to be sure that Hannah understood first, that she was prepared for the shock when the news came out. Then by the time I got there, it was too late.
Too late?
They were saying I was a hero, that I had died with my men. And if I had gone to the army, if I had told them my story, I wasn't sure they'd believe me. They might think I had deserted in the face of enemy fire. There was no one to back me up. No one. I couldn't go to the army. It was too late. I couldn't go to them.
So you just stayed on here hiding.
You don't know what I've gone through. Oh, I've had my punishment worse than any court-martial could give me. Living in darkness for 5 years, never seeing another person but Hannah, never talking to anybody else. 5 years without smelling fleas or feeling rain or having a cavalry horse under me.
But your wife kept claiming you were alive. You knew that, didn't you?
Of course I knew it. It was part of my plan. We had to have food enough for both of us. Clothes for me. That was the way Hannah could get them.
I see.
Tell everybody I'm alive, I said. Tell them I'm here with you. They'll only think you're crazy. Even if they should see me, if they should stumble onto the truth, they'll never believe it. My wife is a good actress, isn't she, Britt?
But no longer, not anymore, William.
What do you mean, my dear?
Well, you said yourself folks will believe Mr. Ponsett.
I said they would believe him.
Would?
Turn up the lamp, Hannah. My eyes aren't as good as they once were, Britt. I guess eyes need lots of daylight.
Well,
don't go yet.
What's that gun for, General?
A man changes a lot in 5 years.
Some men do.
5 years ago, if I had been forced to go back to the army, take my medicine, I'd have been able to do it. But now I can't, Britt. As miserable as I am here, as terrible as this life is, I won't give it up.
Put it away, William. Put the gun away. If you fire, if you shoot Mr. Ponson, I'll know that you've lied to me all these years. It was your fault, the massacre. I'll know that you really are a coward.
Go into the other room, Hannah. This does not concern you.
Not concern me? I loved you, William. Even after you came back, after what happened, I still loved you. Now I know, tonight I know, I don't love you any longer. Any more than you love me.
Hannah.
Look at me, William. Look at my face, my hair. These 5 years have done that to me. You've done it to me.
You mustn't upset yourself, Hannah. Another year or two, we'll be able to leave Minton. Live somewhere else. People won't recognize me then.
People will always recognize you. Why do you think you haven't aged? Why do you think you look just the same? It's so people will always be able to tell who you are and you'll never feel safe. That's your punishment, William Guilford.
I'm leaving now, General.
No, Britt, you're not.
Go ahead! Kill him! What's one more life to you? What's one more life to a man who left a whole regiment of soldiers to die?
Your husband's not going to kill anybody, Mrs. Guilford. He said he'd changed in the last 5 years. Well, I think he has changed. I think he's become such a coward that even the sound of a gunshot would scare him half to death.
Britt!
I wouldn't be in
particularly brave walking out in the jungle like that. You can pretty much tell what a man's gonna do when he's holding a gun. The way his eyes look at you. And Guilford's eyes weren't staring at me like he meant business. I started to close the front door, and I just glanced back over my shoulder as I did it. Guilford was walking up the stairs. He was almost at the top, and then all of a sudden he kind of stumbled. Guilford! I'm afraid it's too late for that.
No! No, it can't be.
Better let me put him on the sofa here.
William!
Do you have any brandy, Mrs. Guilford? Here now, now. Miss Guilford.
Brandy?
Yes, ma'am.
I think so. On the sideboard.
All right, I'll get it.
Yes. Yes, give William some brandy and then he'll be all right. He will be all right, won't he, Mr. Constant?
Here, drink this.
Me? But I'm not sick. It's William who's sick. It's William who needs the brandy.
The general's dead, Mrs. Guilford.
No, no, you're wrong. That's just what people think. That's what we want them to think. But he isn't dead. He's here with me. He lives here in this house.
You've got to get a hold of yourself, Mrs. Gilbert.
Why do people keep saying the general is
dead? Come on, get a hold of yourself here.
Stop shaking me.
But I didn't stop. I went right on shaking her harder and harder and harder until I thought you were going to faint. And then, for a second, she went limp and let out a pitiful little moan. And then she straightened up and her expression changed. It was sort of like a window curtain being pulled back from in front of her eyes.
I'm all right now, Mr. Connor.
Well, I'm sorry if I hurt you any.
You had to do it. If you hadn't, I don't know what would have happened.
Well, you'd better ride back into town with me and spend the night in there, and we can send somebody back here to take care of the general.
I can't, Mr. Ponson. I just can't let folks find out about it.
Yeah, well, I'm afraid it's got to come out now.
Everything? That he left his men to die at the massacre? That he was ashamed to admit it? That he's been hiding here ever since? There's some way we can leave him as he was, anyway, at all.
Well, I don't know. I just, under the circumstances, it'd be
not for
pretty
myself.
Hard to...
I don't care what happens to me, what they say about me, but the general had been a good soldier once, a fine soldier. What good would it do to destroy that?
Well, I know, but it's just... Here, you'd better be careful there, Miss Guilford.
What?
Well, that table with the lamp on it, you almost knocked it over there.
Oh.
And, if the lamp should get broken, you know, this whole place would probably go up in smoke before we could do anything about it.
It wouldn't matter. The ranch doesn't mean anything to me. Not now. I could never live here again anyway.
Yes, well, all the same, we have to be careful. You know, fire is very dangerous.
Yes, it is. Fire.
Now, what are you doing? Now, put that lamp down.
Fire!
Come on. Better hurry up and get out of here. Come on. Of course, they found the general's body in the ruins, but they didn't know who it was. And the report got around that it was a tramp tried to force his way into the house and she'd shot him. And the fire had been started during the scuffle. Everybody seemed satisfied by that. And as long as nobody asked me, I didn't feel obliged to volunteer any additional information.
The next time I came back to Menton, by George, I could hardly recognize Hannah Guilford. She was working in Trailer's General Store. And, she looked a good 8-10 years younger than she had before. There was even talk about her and Mr. Trailer getting married. Seems that after the fire, she sort of got a hold of herself and faced up to the fact that the general was dead. At least that's how Trailer explained it to me. He said that the tramp breaking in on her has done some good. He showed me the fellow's grave. It was right in the shadow of the monument to General William Guilford.
Transcribed NBC Radio Network production in association with Review Productions. It is based on a character created by Frank Burt and is written by him. Mr. Stewart may currently be seen in the Universal International picture, The Glenn Miller Story. Others in the cast were Virginia Gregg, Parley Bear, and Robert Griffin. Special music for this program was by Basil Adler, and the entire production is under the direction of Jack Johnstone. All characters and incidents were fictitious, and any resemblance to actual characters or incidents is purely coincidental. Oh, by the way, you'll be interested in knowing that The Six Shooter has been chosen for broadcast to our men overseas through the facilities of the Armed Forces Radio Services. This is John Wall speaking. Tonight, play Truth or Consequences with Ralph Edwards on the NBC Radio Network.
The Six Shooter, on Tuned to Yesterday from April 8th, 1954 on NBC. And that wraps it up for this hour of Westerns on Tuned to Yesterday. Be sure to be with us next time for more great programs from radio's past. Until our next hour together, I'm Mark Levonier. Thanks for listening.